नम ओम विष्णुपादाय विष्णुपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ते वेदांत स्वामी इति नामे नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 H We're having a Bengali translation here, is it?
There it is. Second floor. Oh.
simultaneous.
ॐ मा ज्ञानतिमरं दस्याज्ञनञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकतामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सहजातं सहगना रघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं सापयितं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपदं सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखादिकांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमस्ते तप्त काञ्चन गौरांगे राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुधे देवी प्रणामामि हरि प्रिये वञ्चकौपतरुभ्यस्य कृपा सिन्धुभयेव च पतितानां पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदेव गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
I feel unqualified to speak on the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in front of all of you who are all born much closer and much better at much better environmental situation to appreciate the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya than I myself. However, I have been connected with these pastimes, with this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission for some 40 years now. So I will just try to give you some of the things which I have understood in relation to Lord Chaitanya and his munificence. Lord Ramachandra is known as Odarya, he's known as Maryad Avatar. He shows the perfect etiquette, perfect behavior. Lord Ramachandra is very obedient to his father and he is a very good husband. He made the vow, only one wife. Kept that, although he was a king, So Maryada avatar is Lord Ramachandra. Lord Krishna came at the end of Dwapara Yuga, and he's Lila Purushottam avatar. He's showing the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rasa Lila, and Govardhan Hill. These pastimes, these are the affairs of the spiritual world when Lord Krishna comes. Lord Rama comes as king. He shows how perfect king should be. Lord Krishna, however, comes as the personality of Godhead, showing the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, the spiritual world. Now, Lord Chaitanya is a very special incarnation. He is covered incarnation. He does not reveal himself as the Supreme Lord because he comes in the mood of a devotee. He comes to establish the Yuga Dharma. There is external reason for his coming. And he comes for other reasons also, which are more esoteric in relation to Lord Krishna desiring to experience the pleasure which is found from Srimati Radharani and her association with Lord Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was described by his immediate disciple Rupa Goswami as being the most merciful of all of the incarnations of the Lord Krishna. He composed a beautiful verse, Namo Mahapadanaya Krishna Prema Pridayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaur Tivishe Namaha. There, it is said that Krishna's incarnations in this world are as numerous as there are waves on the sea. And of all of these incarnations, Lord Chaitanya is understood to be the most merciful of all of these incarnations because he distributes Krishna prema to everyone. He distributes the highest thing. What was kept sealed when Lord Krishna came was distributed freely without any discrimination by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Krishna came, Lord Krishna made conditions. We know from the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Sarva dharmam parigyajna mamekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yashyani masucha. Lord Krishna is concluding his teachings of the Bhagavad Gita by promising to Arjuna that if you surrender to me, if you give up all of your materially motivated religion, and if you take shelter of me, then I will free you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. In giving up duties, one may be worried about sinful reactions. However, Lord Krishna was encouraging Arjuna. Doesn't matter. If you give up your duties, if you take shelter of me, I will protect you. I will free you. So there's some conditions there. Some conditions that you had to give up something in order to get Lord Krishna's protection. But with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was no such conditions. He was giving freely this Krishna prema. It is said that Lord Krishna, when he appeared, he brought with him a storehouse of love of God. But he kept the contents sealed, was locked up. Just like if you have a big godown and you have lots of valuable goods in your godown, right? You're not going to have it open for just anybody to walk in there, you know, you have it all locked up. So Lord Krishna, you know, he brought this Krishna Prem with him, but he wasn't distributing it so freely. But Lord Chaitanya is a different case. Lord Chaitanya and his associates, the Panchatattva, it is said they plundered this storehouse of love of God and they distributed it everywhere without discriminating. Young men, old men, women and children, everyone got the mercy of love of God from Lord Chaitanya. Lochan Das Thakur has written a very nice song, some of you may be knowing. He says, Parama Karuna Pahu Dvijana Nitai Gora Chandra Sabha Avatara Sarasiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. These two lords, Chaitanya and Nityananda, are supremely merciful. We said Lord Rama is Maryada Avatar, Krishna is Lila Purushottam, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mahabhadanaya Avatar. He's giving this unlimited mercy to everyone, freely distributing Krishna Prem. In this process, Lord Chandas Thakur said, it's simply joyful. Lord Ramachandra was taking his bow and going in the forest. He was killing the Rakshasas. And Krishna also had his Sudarshan Chakra, and he also killed some good number of demons. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come in a different mood to give freely Krishna Prem even to those who are against him. The famous incident is the deliverance of Jaghai and Madhai, and how although they had committed physical abuse on the body of Lord Nityananda, that Lord Nityananda begged Lord Chaitanya to give them mercy, to deliver them. And he did. And they became his devotees. And they never again went back to material life. You can see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj is written in his Bengali classic. He has mentioned that Jaghai and Madhai are part of the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers. There are many different branches of this tree, and Jaghai and Madhai are one of the branches of the tree which comes from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So who is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It is commonly said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not just simply Krishna, but he is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna were initially one, but then they separated themselves to become two persons. And Krishna enjoys his Leela with Srimati Radharani. But now, in this Kali Yuga, these two personalities have again become one in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appears in the holy land, the Dham of Navadvip, Mayapur Dham. For a good time there was some confusion as to the actual birth site of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the nature of the Ganga is, you know, she often changes her course. We know when there's a flood, you can see after a flood the Ganga goes back, settles down, it's not the same anymore. It's moved. The path is often changing. So there was some confusion. Where is the actual birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? For some time, people were thinking that it must be in Navadvip. With Navadvip in Chaitanya Charitamrita is known by the name Kuliya, Kuliyagram. Kuliya, that name is given. So, some of the pandits there, for the purpose of their own benefit, you know, they understood, if we have the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here, many pilgrims will come, they will donate here, we'll get the money, you know, it will be good for us. So in this way, it became, you know, some competition, everybody saying, Chaitanya was born here, and somebody else saying, no, it was born here in my street, you know, not in your street, it was in my street he appeared. There was some conflict, some discussion about where is the actual birth site. So there were a few different sites which people were proclaiming as being the actual place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And it was not until Bhaktivinod Thakur actually researched this and was able to discover the actual place of the birth site of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktivinod Thakur, for some years, had been living in Jagannath Puri, where he was the magistrate there, overseeing the affairs of the temple, as well as other different judicial affairs there in Jagannath Puri. But he was very anxious to relocate, to come back to Navadvip, and to research the actual birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was able to get government transfer, and he was transferred to Navadvip. And from Navadvip then, he also later on moved over to Swarup Ganj. His home is there today. You can also see there in Swarup Ganj. He has one house there where he was living for some many years. And from that house at Swarup Ganj, he was praying to the Lord. He wanted to understand what is the actual birth site. And he also researched with the help of many different maps and along with the information from the scriptures. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are described in a number of different Bengali classics. That is, first of all, Chaitanya Bhagwat, which is very prominent. It is said the author of Chaitanya Bhagwat, Vrindavan Das Thakur, is the Vyasa of Chaitanya Lila. And then there is the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a more philosophical account of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Bhagwat was written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur describes himself as being the last disciple of Lord Nityananda. So he extensively describes the early pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the latter pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not included in the Chaitanya Bhagwat. So feeling that this was a lack, that this was something which devotees needed to hear, Krishna Das Kaviraj, at the request of the other Vaishnavas who were all living there in Vrindavan, he was encouraged to write this Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there he gives more detailed information of the later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after his sannyas and his living in Jagannath Puri, and then his travels in South India, and then his Antya Leela, his final pastimes there in Jagannath Puri. This is all elaborately described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, as well as extensive philosophical discussions on the position, the theological positions of the members of the Panchatattva. So another book which is also important is the Chaitanya Mangal, which was written by Lochan Das Thakur. So some parts of these scriptures are the same and some are different. Bhaktivinod Thakur used all of these different scriptures to establish the actual birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And with the help of divine revelation,
he was able to witness some glowing effulgence over in the jungles of Mayapur. From his home at Swarup Ganj, he could see across the Jalangi to the Mayapur, and he could see some glowing effulgence there. So he went over to investigate this, and at that place he found a number of tulsi trees growing there. And he also found, later on, he was also able to find many other things which indicated that this was the actual birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In order to confirm that Mayapur was the actual yoga peak, we describe the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the place where he appeared, as being yoga peak. Yoga means union, connecting. The Supreme Lord comes down from the spiritual world and he connects with this world at the Holy Dham. Actually, the Holy Dham is not in this material world. Mayapur and Navadvip Dham are not part of this material world. They are the spiritual world. When all of this world is annihilated, the Holy Dham remains. This is inconceivable to our limited senses, but this is the information from the revealed scriptures and all the acharyas. They tell us the position of the Holy Dham. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur established the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there in Mayapur, and he then set about to build temples. But he didn't just simply stop there to build a temple at the yoga peak. He understood also the particular nature of the Holy Dham, that just as Goloka, just as Vrindavan Dham, is in the form of a lotus flower and has different petals of a lotus, in the same way Navadvip Dham also is in the form of a lotus flower. Just as there are different forests in Vrindavan, in Navadvip there are different islands. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur described how Navadvip Dham is made up of 9 different petals of a lotus. And these different petals of the lotus represent, each petal represents one of the 9 processes of devotional service. On Tuesday, actually, and just the day after tomorrow, our devotees at ISKCON Mayapur will begin the annual Navadvip Dham Parikrama. When we go out and circumambulate these 9 different petals of the lotus, and in each of the different islands, the devotees will hear the different leelas of each of these places. We will see the different deities which have been established there, and we will hear all the different pastimes. We will also discuss the nature of the devotional service which is being inspired in that particular place. The other day, for example, the other day was Shivratri. I was in Mayapur at that time, and I had gone to our Jagannath Mandir. There's one nice Jagannath Mandir which has been donated to ISKCON, not far away from ISKCON, only a few kilometers. What's the name of that village? Rajapur, right, Rajapur, okay. So in Rajapur we have our Jagannath Mandir, and Rajapur there's one Simanta Devi, right? Simanta Devi is there. So the devotees also discovered one Shivalinga there. So on Shivratri, they did some puja, some abhishek of the Shivalinga. The Shivalinga was found just on the ground that there's in that area where our temple is. So because of the connection with Simanta Devi, Shivalinga has also been established and the worship is going on. So in Navadvip, one of the islands is called Ritudvip. And in Ritudvip, the process of devotional service is friendship. Sakyam. It is said we should make Lord Shiva our friend. Lord Shiva is also a Vaishnava. Vaishnava Yata Shambhu. He is the greatest Vaishnava. Lord Shiva controls the false ego, Ahankar. Ahankar keeps us in the world of samsara, material existence, taking birth again and again. So long as we have this Ahankar, we have to take another material body in this world. But if we take shelter of Lord Shiva, if we become a friend of Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva is the husband of Parvati. Parvati also is Durga, and she controls the material energy. If we take shelter of Lord Shiva, he can free us from the influence of Mother Durga's Maya. So in this way, Lord Shiva is very important to all of us as devotees. So this is one of the islands. In each of the different islands, different processes are recommended. And as we circumambulate the different islands, we hear about all the different activities and we focus on the particular type of devotional service which is being recommended in this particular place. There are a number of very ancient temples which have been rediscovered. For example, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, who was spiritual master of our own spiritual master, who founded Gaudiya Math, he greatly developed this Navadvip Dham Parikrama. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the world, it is said Lord Nityananda took Jiva Goswami to visit all the holy places in Navadvip Dham. You can read that in the Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, described there by Bhaktivinoda. And it is said also, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, they also came to Navadvip Dham and they also did parikrama there, visited all the places. But gradually, these places were all lost in time. Many of these places were unknown. And it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur who himself came and began to research. He himself went round only one time. But he gave that duty to his son, his seminal son, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada, took up the work of developing the holy Dham. And he excavated many of the holy places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. One very interesting place is in Champakahati. In Champakahati, he found there was a jungle area. And in this jungle area, they found one old building, derelict building, broken down. One side of the house was all knocked down, it was open. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati came there with his disciples, and when they entered that place, they saw there were snakes, it was very frightening, but they saw also big deities, big-sized deities of Gaur and Gadadhar. Gaur Gadadhar deities were discovered there. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was able to determine that these were the actual deities which had been worshipped since 500 years ago by the devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Vipravanina. Vipravanina, his own deities were discovered. So it was arranged that this land could be given over to the Gaudiya Math, and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati commissions his disciples there to take over the deity worship and re-establish the deities, the service of the deities. Another place which was discovered was Suvarna Vihar, where Suvarna Sen had lived in the Satya Yuga. It was a jungle area. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, being not of this material world, being a liberated soul and in touch with the Supreme Lord, he told his disciples, he said, find out the owner of this land and ask him if he can donate it to us. So the disciples went to see the person who owned this land. It was a very useless piece of land. Nothing was growing there. It was just some mountains, some rocks, some wild trees, nothing. The devotees went to meet the farmer, and the farmer said, why he wants this land? This land is useless. Tell your Guru Maharaj, I will give him a nice piece of land. That piece of land is hopeless. There's nothing there. I will give him some nice land if he wants some land. But the message came back, no, we just want that land. That's the land we want. And then when they got that land, then later on, as they excavated the land, then they found the ruins of what had once been the palace of Suvarna Sen. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati explained to the devotees that this is the place. These are the ruins from Satya Yuga, when Suvarna Sen lived there. Suvarna Sen had darshan of Lord Gauranga in the Satya Yuga. Lord Gauranga had told him that in the Kali Yuga he would appear and he would propagate the Sankirtan movement and he would give Krishna prem to everyone and everyone would take part in the Sankirtan. When Suvarna Sen heard all about this, then he lamented that, how will I ever see these pastimes? Lord Chaitanya blessed him that you can also come and take part. And Suvarna Sen came as Buddhimanta Khan. Buddhimanta Khan was in Chaitanya Leela. He paid the expenses for the second marriage of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Lord Chaitanya was married to Vishnu Priya. At that time, Buddhimanta Khan paid all of the costs of the marriage ceremony. So this Buddhimanta Khan was none other than Suvarna Sen. And this Suvarna Vihar was a place which was discovered by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. So all of this information had to be revealed by the help of great devotees. Just like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Srinivasacharya describes the work of the Goswamis. Nana shastra vicharinai kanipano saddharma samstapanam. That the six Goswamis were engaged in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. So in the same way, just as the six Goswamis studied all the scriptures to establish eternal religious principles, in the same way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, they also labored to reveal to us the glories of the Holy Dhamma,
Mayapur Dham or Navadvip Dham.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eternally resides in Navadvip Dham. In Mayapur, in Navadvip Dham, he is engaged in the congregational chanting, propagating the Yuga Dharma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, did not simply remain in the Navadvip Dham. He took sannyas. He had to leave Navadvip Dham. It's described even before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Navadvip Dham that Jayadeva Goswami also used to live in Navadvip Dham. Jayadeva Goswami was residing also at Champakahati, just near to where these Gorgadarhar deities were discovered, was the place of residence of Jayadeva Goswami and Padmavati, his wife. And they were living there, but the king of that place had read one of the poems of Jayadeva. And after reading the poem and understanding the devotion which this person must have, the king became eager for the association of Jayadeva. However, Jayadeva Goswami said, "I cannot associate with any materialistic person like a king." You know, this was a culture in those days. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, we know that when he went to Jagannath Puri, he would not associate with Maharaj Prataparudra because he said, "You are a king is a materialistic person. He's a Vishayi. He's only interested in sense gratification. For a sannyasi to associate with such a person will be a stain on the character." So Jayadeva Goswami, although he was not a sannyasi, he was in a renounced mood. Internally he was renounced, and he did not want to associate with a materialistic person like the king. So Jayadeva Goswami was going to move, but the king requested, just move to another island, then you can move. But the Lord appeared, Lord Gauranga appeared to Jayadeva Goswami and told him, "Yes, you can go to Jagannath Puri. You said you were going to leave, you had a desire to go to Jagannath Puri, so now you go to Jagannath Puri." Jayadeva Goswami and Padmavati, when they were leaving Navadvip, they were lamenting, they were crying, shedding tears. "What sin have we done? We don't want to leave Navadvip Dham. We must have done some sin that we cannot stay here in Navadvip Dham. We're so unfortunate." They were lamenting in this way. However, they were blessed that they could also come back later on to take part in the Lord's pastimes. Navadvip Dham, I want you to understand how special this place of Navadvip Dham is. That it is non-different from Vrindavan. And Vrindavan, Mayapur, Navadvip, they are not of this material world. In Vrindavan, there are offenses. That you can do service for Krishna, you will get great benefit. But there is also offenses. And if you will make any offense in service to the Lord, then the reactions are very severe. But Navadvip is a little different from Vrindavan. That in Vrindavan, Krishna takes offenses. But in Navadvip, the Lord is very merciful. That if you do service in Navadvip, you get the benefit, great benefit. It said even if you lay down to take rest, you get the benefit of offering obeisances to the Lord. You know, even you do service unknowingly, Krishna gives you credit. And he does not take any offense. Just as there are offenses in chanting the names of Krishna, in chanting Mahamantra, there are 10 offenses. But in chanting Panchatattva mantra, there are no offenses. The Lord does not take any offense in chanting Panchatattva mantra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is supremely merciful. He has come to give everyone the opportunity to make spiritual progress, to develop their consciousness of Krishna. So Navadvip Dham was also visited by Shankaracharya. Navadvip Dham Mahatmya describes how Shankaracharya also came to Navadvip Dham. And he was also enjoying, he was thinking, this place is very nice. I think I will stay here forever. I like this place very much. But the Lord appeared to him. Lord Garanga appeared to him and told him, you have no business here. He said, you're doing very good work in other places by bewildering all those people who are attracted to the idea of becoming one with the Supreme. Atheistic people are brought into the Advaita line, that they think of themselves to be one with the Supreme. So you're doing very good work there in bewildering these atheistic people and bringing them back to the Vedic path. But don't come here in Navadvip Dham. You have no business here. This place is only for the devotees. I'm preaching pure bhakti here, nothing else. We don't need any of this Mayavada, Advaita mark here. So Shankaracharya was sent out. It is said also that the four Kumaras were also there in Navadvip Dham. And there they met Nimbaditya. Nimbaditya was given the Gyan. The four Kumaras, they have transcendental knowledge, and they gave that knowledge to Nimbaditya. And they asked him to carry their disciplic succession. This, of course, comes in the present day known as Nimbarka Sampradaya, Nimbarka Acharya, coming from the four Kumaras. So it said this knowledge of the four Kumaras was given to Nimbaditya there in Navadvip Dham. How special this holy land of Navadvip is, that the Lord chooses this place for his pastimes. Why does Mahaprabhu appear in Navadvip Dham? Prabhupada explains, just like people would often ask, you know, why does Krishna only perform his pastimes there in Vrindavan? Or Prabhupada explains, he said, just like a farmer may have a big area of land, he may own thousands of acres, but there is some special place where he will pick, where he will build his house, where he will live with his family. He will pick some special area for himself to reside. In the same way, the Lord chooses his own abode. And he sends that abode to this world so that when he comes here, he can reside in his own abode. So the holy land of Navadvip is not of this material world. It's the glory of the holy Dham was described by Swarup Damodar to Swarup Damodar was talking to this one devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were discussing they had been watching Rathi Atra, and they had seen the opulence. This was actually Swarup Damodar was talking to Srivas Thakur. Now Srivas Thakur is expansion of Narada Muni. So Narada Muni is a Vaikuntha man, and when he saw the opulence, when Srivas Thakur saw the opulence of the goddess of fortune, Mother Lakshmi, and all of her servants, and how they came and how they arrested all the servants of Jagannath and they brought them back to Nilachal. So he said, just look at the opulence of Mother Lakshmi, how wonderful she is, how powerful. And Srivas Swarup Damodar said to Srivash Thakur, he said, "You don't know the opulence of the spiritual of Goloka Dham, of the supreme abode. That in Goloka Vrindavan, which is none different from Navadvipa," he said, "every speck of dust is Chintamani. Every tree is Kalpa Vriksha. And every cow is Kamadhenu." This is the opulence of the supreme abode of the Lord. Although every tree is Kalpa Vriksha, can fulfill all of our desires, but still the residents of the Holy Dham, they have no material desires. They don't want anything other than flowers and fruits. They're happy to get flowers and fruits, and they can offer them to the Lord. They have no need to ask for anything like gold or silver, any of these precious metals, nothing like that. They just simply want flowers and fruit to offer them to the Lord. So this is the nature of the Holy Dham. Of course, not everyone who goes to the Holy Dham can see the Holy Dham, because the Holy Land is covered. It's only visible to the devotees. Just as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Naham prakasha sarvatma yogamaya samavritya mudu yamna bijanati lokomam ajam avyayam." Krishna is saying, "I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my eternal creative potency, Yogamaya." So in the same way, people come to the Holy Dham. You may visit Vrindavan, or you may visit Mayapur, Navadvip, and you say, "What is so special about this place? Just the same as anywhere else. What's the big deal? I don't see any Kalpa Vriksha. Where's the Chintamani?" You know, it's like people from the upcountry that they heard in Calcutta, all the streets are paved with gold. Right? They're living somewhere away in some village place, countryside somewhere, but they hear in Calcutta, everybody is Crorepati. Right? So when they come to Calcutta, they think, "What happened? Where is everything?" You know? They're disappointed. So in the same way, people come to the Holy Dham, Vrindavan Dham, Navadvip Dham. We think, "Dham? This is just an ordinary place. I don't see any difference." You have to have spiritual vision. You have to have devotion. You have to see with the eye of knowledge. Don't see with the eyes. It said the dog sees with its nose. Dog goes everywhere and smells. The conditioned soul, they see with their eyes. But the devotee sees with the help of Shastra, scripture, with the eye of knowledge. So when we see the Holy Dham with the help of scriptures and with the eye of knowledge, then we can actually see the Holy Dham. The Holy Dham has to be revealed to us with the help of devotees. Therefore, we encourage people, don't just go to the Holy Dham on your own, but go in the association of devotees. In the association of devotees, then they will reveal to you the glories of the Dham. They will tell you everything about these places, right? Just like Navadvip. Navadvip is one of the 9 islands in the Holy Dham, and originally Navadvip was Koladvip. Koladvip. Kola meaning boar. Boar. That in the Satya Yuga, there was a great Brahmana, Vasudev, living there, and he was a great devotee of Lord Varaha. And he was worshipping Lord Varaha, and he strongly desired that he could have darshan of Lord Varaha. So it is said that Lord Varaha appeared to him and fulfilled his desire. He appeared in a huge form as Lord Varaha. Must have been huge, because Lord Varaha has to pick up this planet with his tusk. So huge form he appeared to this Brahmana Vasudev. So this Brahmana Vasudev, after having darshan of Lord Varaha, then from that time on, the place became known as Koladweep. He gave the name to that place, Koladweep. This, today it's Navadweep. But Koladweep and Navadweep, Dhammadhyam, it's Koladweep. The Lord appeared there in his Varaha form. Another place in Koladweep is the place of Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Initially, he was teaching Bhagavatam. And Srivas Thakur had come there to hear his Bhagavat discourse. Now, Srivas was living over in Mayapur. He came all the way over to Kulia, to Navadweep, to hear Bhagavat. He was a stranger to the people there. He sat down in the class. Devananda Pandit had his students, and he was speaking Bhagavat to them. But when Srivas Thakur heard the Bhagavat, he became so ecstatic just hearing Bhagavatam, because in Mayapur, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, there was no real devotees, there was not much Krishna consciousness, everybody was smarter Brahman, they were all doing karmakandi activities, they were all engaged in just simply demigod worship, tantric, and all kinds of other things, nothing, no pure devotion, no Shuddha Bhakti. So Srivas Thakur was eager to hear Bhagavatam. He came there to Devananda Pandit, and he was hearing Bhagavatam. And just hearing the Bhagavatam, it awakened his ecstasy, his bhava. And Srivas Thakur became overwhelmed with ecstasy. But when he became overwhelmed with ecstasy, because the ecstasy was so great, you know, he rolled on the floor. So the other people who were there, the students of Devananda Pandit, they thought, who is this person? Get him out of here. Just disturbing us. And they dragged him out. They manhandled him. So they did not treat him very nicely. This was an offense on their part. And because the students did this, so the teacher took the reaction. Devananda Pandit, he was the teacher, so he's responsible for his students. So he had to take the reaction. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not give blessings to Devananda Pandit. He said, you're an offender of pure devotees. You will never be delivered. So Devananda Pandit was very upset. He thought, I've offended pure devotees. And then it was revealed to him, you have offended Srivas Thakur, a great devotee of the Lord. Devananda Pandit, however, was lucky. He was able to get relief from his offenses by serving another Vaishnava, Vakreshwara Pandit, another great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had come one day, and Vakreshwara Pandit, he was very fond of doing kirtan. He liked to chant and dance for hours together, many hours. A few hours was nothing. He could chant and dance 24, 36 hours. So on one occasion he was dancing, and when he was doing his kirtan and dancing, a crowd of people gathered round. And at that time Devananda Pandit came, and he took advantage to do some Vaishnava seva. He was serving Vakreshwara Pandit. He would keep the people away so that they did not disturb him, did not stop his kirtan. So because he did some Vaishnava seva, he was relieved from his offenses. So Devananda Pandit's place is also an important place to visit in the Navadvip Dham, that we can all be relieved from our offenses in the course of our devotional service. That in devotional service, sometimes unknowingly we do things which may impede our spiritual progress. So it's important for us to free ourselves from these things. And by visiting these places, like the place of Devananda Pandit, then we can be relieved. We can pray to Lord Varaha there to forgive us for our offenses. So like this, so much benefit can be achieved in circumambulating the Navadvip Dham. It is a very great spiritual adventure. If any of you have the opportunity, I encourage you, go next week to Mayapur and you join the Mayapur Navadvip Dham Parikrama. It's only for 7 days. In 7 days we can cover all the 9 islands, and we have 4 different groups this year. One group is in Russia. I don't think any of you will want to go with the Russian party. Another group is the Bengali party. They're very strong. They have wonderful, very sweet Bengali kirtans. All of them are very adept in singing all the Bengali songs, and they know all the leelas of all the holy places. This year also we will have for the first time one Hindi group also. Many of the sannyasis are Hindi speaking, and they will also be accompanying and giving the pravachan. And a lot of devotees have come from Delhi, so they have their own group. And then the fourth group will be the international, the Khichdi group. Right? Khichdi, yeah. Bit of everything thrown in there. African, American, everywhere. So it will be very exciting, great adventure every year to go around the Holy Dham and visit all of these places in the association of the devotees. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written in his song, May I always visit all the holy places associated with the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is an item which is very conducive for devotional service. If you only get 1 week off work in the year, you take off that week when you can go parikrama, run Navadvip Dham with all the devotees. You will never forget that experience. Promise. Okay, so we will stop, ask if there is any question. Yes, Prabhu.
Hi, Vishwamas. Thank you very much for giving nice class. One of the question is, you told about Devananda Pandit that he committed offense to Srivastava Thakur, and later he served Kapishwar Pandit, and he got away from the offenses. But we heard that when we commit offense to some Vaishnava, only when that Vaishnava forgives us, then only we complete from offenses.
Okay. Yes. Therefore, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that Devananda Pandit was serving so nicely Vakreshwara Pandit, then he instructed him, now you go to Srivastava Thakur and you get relief from your offense. You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became merciful to him when he saw him serving the Vaishnava, and he gave him instruction that you have to go now to Srivastava Thakur and he will relieve you from your offenses. So right, yes, you're right. You have to go to the devotee. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this blessing when he saw that he was sincerely repenting and desiring to serve the devotees. So he sent him to go to Shivas and be relieved from his offense.
And of course, a devotee naturally will immediately relieve anybody. No. Just as Ambarish Maharaj, when Durvasa Muni came to Ambarish Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj did not think that Durvasa had offended him. You know, he said, no, you have done nothing. No, no, please, you're my senior. So like that, Srivas also, except, you know, had no grudge, no bad feeling at all towards Devananda Pandit. And immediately forgive him any offense which may have been there.
Sir, when we visit Dham, we see the Dham Vasis, they act very materially. We see that they are just like other materialistic people. They are living their life, they are praying for their religious principles. They don't know even the glories of the Dham where they are signing. So it's very bewildering. And on the contrary, in the Dham Apara, it's saying that if you think like that, or if you think Dham as the material people, then that is also offense. So how do I adjust that?
Well, we have to appreciate the fact that they are able to live in the Dham. They're better than us because they're living there in the Dham. Although they may have, you may see that they're materialistic in their behavior, but still we should offer them all respect because they have the good fortune to live there in that holy Dham. Every moment to be there in the holy Dham, to breathe the air, to be in contact with the dust of the holy Dham. Everything in the Dham has connection with the Lord. Every atom, every speck of dust, everything there in the holy Dham is in relationship to the Supreme Lord. So although they may appear to be behaving in ways which are unusual, abnormal, still we have to respect their good fortune that they are able to reside there in that holy Dham. In the course of devotional service, there will always be some obstacles which come. It may come in the form of hell, as you are describing, that, you know, we're trying to perform devotional service and some setbacks may come upon us which make it very difficult for us to continue our devotional service. How should we view it? Yeah, we may view it as being reactions due to our past activities. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there's an appropriate verse. Tate nukampam susamikshamana bunjana evatma kritam pipakam ridvakubir vidyadam namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadayaka. This verse is describing that when we face difficulties, adverse conditions which come upon us, setbacks in our health, we should consider them to be reactions, something due to past activities, may not necessarily be in this life, could be some previous lives, somehow we're carrying some past karma. And in order for us to go back to Godhead, it may be necessary for us to undergo these tribulations. In order to fully
relieve ourselves of past sins. We undergo these tribulations, difficulties, and setbacks. But if we go on, if we continue engaging in our devotional service, some kind of, maybe you can't do exactly the same kind of service, but you continue to engage your body, your mind, your words in the service of Krishna, then you become qualified to become an associate of the Lord. The term is used, sadayabak. Sadayabak means just as the son is the rightful inheritor of the property of the father. When the father dies, you know, the son just has to stay alive and he inherits the father's property. In the same way, we just have to stay in Krishna consciousness. If you remain in Krishna consciousness, then it's your right to go back to Godhead. Yeah? That you just remain. Even though these difficulties are there, obstacles, challenges we are facing. But if we continue to use our body, mind and words in the service of Krishna, dedicated to Him, then it's our rightful claim to go back to God. We just have to remain alive in Krishna consciousness. Yes.
Suppose if a person is good living, he is tired of living, he don't want to live in the material world, and his only, if a person is tired of living and he don't want to live more, and suppose he tries other ways, then how, what are the other ways of reaching Golok Dham? Is it only devotional service through which we can go to Golok Dham? Or is it samadhi or other alternatives also?
Yes, you can only go
because
by...
Because people go and commit suicide and they lose all their...
Please don't commit suicide.
But people get tired of living over here in the material world. So what is the alternative for them? Samadhi is the alternative or only emotional service is the only key to go to Golok Dham.
Yeah. Devotional. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that it's only by devotion that we can actually go to Him. If you want to go to Golok, you have to be devotee. That's a qualification to go to Him. If you want to go some other place, you know, maybe you want to go up to Swargaloka, then you know, karma activity, karma, you can do good karma. Karmakandi activities can take you to Brahmalok or Swarga. Material, but that's temporary. You can't remain there. You have to come back. But if you want to go to a place where you don't come back, you don't come back here again. You just one-way ticket. Yeah, one-way ticket only. You go there, Golok. You have to purchase that ticket by devotion. No other price. Complete devotion, full faith. That's the price for the ticket to Golok. You have to have that love, devotion for Krishna. Why? Because if you haven't got, you won't be happy there. You wouldn't like it. If you're not devotee, if you don't like to hear about Krishna, you don't like to chant, you won't be happy there. You know, sometimes people come here, the temple, you know, and they stay 5 minutes and they go, you know, they can feel, you know what, you know, this is, I'm not ready for this, you know. Oh, you know, it's okay, you know. They got 5 minutes anyway, you know. But, like that, we want to go to Goloka. You know, you have to be in the mood to go there. You have to be suitable. You have to have that interest to hear and chant and take part in Krishna's pastimes. Samadhi. Well, samadhi generally, with samadhi means fixed mind. Fixed mind. It's the eighth limb of Astanga Yoga. the final stage of Astanga Yoga, Samadhi, complete total absorption. So when you get to that stage of Samadhi, then you have to engage yourself in the devotional activities. Then you take up Bhakti Yoga. Yeah. Once you get to that Samadhi, that's a very long process. It's not for this age. You're not going to get in Samadhi very easy in this age. But if you just simply chant, take Krishna Prasadam, hear about Krishna, see the deities, then quickly you can become qualified to go back to Goloka. Yeah, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we said, he's giving the easy process. Joyful, ananda, kevala ananda kanda, joyful process. So this is the mercy of Lord Gauranga. Other samadhi, you know, that took, you know, like Kardama, he was meditating 10,000 years, you know, so many years, doing till he got samadhi. Then the Lord came, then he got married after all that. And then again, then he had to take sannyas again. So samadhi, you know, don't worry about that, forget that. You know, we're not going to waste our time in all these things. You know, that's for another age, Satya Yuga. This is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma, chant the holy name, hear about Krishna. Very simple, quick process, right? We like fast things, fast food, right? Everything is fast, you know. So here's the fast process, chanting Hare Krishna. Quick Dharma, Kali Dharma, right? Kali Yuga Dharma. Kali Yuga Dharma, Hari Naam Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti Vininahi Tara Pravartan, right? You have to get the Krishna Shakti. So Prabhupada has come. He's given this Krishna consciousness movement. You can get the Krishna Shakti here. It's available in this room. You just have to take it. And you can go back to Godhead quickly. You don't need to come here again. Finished. But suicide, you have to come back. You have to take subtle body, ghost body. Be a ghost for a long time. Suicide doesn't get you anywhere. Just take you deeper into hell. Suicide is not solving any problem, just making more problems. Yes, Prabhu?
Yes. You know that the problems come, so if you do have past things, so yogis will continue in those things, and then the problems can be like this also. So I think that there are many questions there. Sometimes the difficulties we may get are emotional, that they come with our apraj, not machine. So we said that when we commit apraj, then the taste for emotional is goes away. And like God personally can't, like the material desire in the heart. So that is a very difficult to continue.
So, you can tell me what he's saying? I'm not hearing very well.
My question is that sometimes the difficulties we face in the devotional life, that may come due to the offenses we have had in our past.
Yeah.
So when we commit offenses, then those people are altogether difficult and another is that God, like, there are various desires which go after committing offenses. So it is difficult, it's very difficult to consider the devotional life.
Well, devotional service, you know, when we take up this process, it will destroy all the material desires. It can change all the material desires. Even, you know, we have past sins, we have sins from before, from previous lives. But just by one stroke of devotional service, it can all be destroyed. So we just have to go on with the process. And don't worry about what goes on. And everything you do, there will be some problems, there will always be some difficulties. But if you just go on, you're just determined to be Krishna conscious. You can't expect immediately everything, you know,
probability soon. But if you just simply take to this process enthusiastically, then quickly the life will be changed. There's nothing to do. There's no qualification to take up devotional service. You know, you just in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Yesham twantigatam papam jananam punya karmana." The persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life and were freed from all sins, then they engage themselves in my devotional service with determination. So we may think, oh, maybe I haven't done enough pious activities to be a devotee. But pious activities is not the qualification to be a devotee. What is the qualification to be a devotee? A devotee came to Prabhupada, he said, "Prabhupada, are we devotees because of our pious activities?" Prabhupada said, "I am creating your pious activity." Yeah, when you contact the devotees, then they engage you in some service. So that is pious activity. And that piety, that will give you devotion. That will give you Krishna consciousness. Nothing else. And that service to the devotees, that will destroy unlimited amounts of sins. That will take away all the past karmas. We say, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes. Serve the devotees opens the doors to liberation. So you don't have to worry, we don't have to think, oh, I'm so sinful, because of my sins I'm having a lot of trouble with my Krishna consciousness. No, it's not the problem. You've committed some aparad?
No, you may not know, I don't know, I have committed.
But if we do devotional service, one stroke of devotional service will destroy unlimited amounts of sins. Devotional service is so powerful that as soon as you take up this process of devotional service, then all of your past sins can be destroyed. Sometimes Prabhupada would give the example, though, the fan. That just like the fan, when you switch it off, it doesn't stop immediately. There's still some momentum there. So in the same way, there may still be some residual of past sins there. But quickly that will go by devotional service. So long as we keep ourselves absorbed in Krishna consciousness, we have to keep ourselves focused on our devotional service. We have to be clear what we want. If you're mixing, a little Maya, a little Krishna, Maya today, Krishna tomorrow, I'll chant today, I'll make up, I'll do my Maya tonight, and tomorrow I'll make up for it, I'll chant more, then that won't help us. But if we're very focused in our service, then all of the problems, all the anarthas, all the attachments, they'll all be taken away by Krishna.
I have a question that these offenses which you are talking about in your lecture, like offenses can they only be considered as far as words or physical actions are concerned, or in your mind also something comes up for some devotee which one should not be thinking about? Are those also considered as offenses? And if those are also considered as offenses,
in the Kali Yuga, you don't get reactions for offenses in the mind. This is one of the benefits of Kali Yuga. That in other ages, you would get reactions for mental offenses. But in the Kali Yuga, there's no offense, you don't get reactions for offenses committed in the mind. But you have to be careful,
because the things which we keep in the mind will soon become manifest in physical activities. But generally it said, in Kali Yuga, you don't get reactions for offenses committed in the mind, but if you think good things in the mind, you get the benefit of that in Kali Yuga. So if we use our mind to just think about doing good for others, you get so much benefit. Yeah. This is Kali Yuga. This is why Kali Yuga is so a special time. Great time to make progress. You know, just by thinking good, you can get so much benefit. Yes, Madhaji? They'll give you the mic. Well, it will depend a lot on the circumstances, you know. Because of this problem that we may be offensive, that is why Srila Prabhupada instructed us that every day, every morning in the temple room, when the devotees come together, at the end of the arti, the Tulsi Puja, then we have Vaishnava Pranam. And we all offer obeisances to each other. Because it's very easy for us to sometimes do something which is not liked, which is not appreciated by others. And this may impede our devotional service. So it's very important for us. It's Vaishnava etiquette. That when we meet the devotee, when we greet the devotees, what we like to do is, please accept my humble obeisances. And just by offering our obeisances to the Vaishnavas, we are relieved of any offense. So this is important for us. If you're not able to directly go and apologize to the person, then an alternative is to give service to the person, to serve the devotees. Service to the Vaishnavas is also very powerful. But I just quoted that Mahat Sevam Dwara Mahur Vimuktis. By serving the Mahatmas, the devotees, then it opens the doors to liberation. In Chaitanya Lila, it's described how the residents of Kulia went to Jagannath Puri every year to attend Rathi Atra and to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at that time, a group of householder devotees came to see Lord Chaitanya. And they said to him, "We are all Grihastha devotees, we're very fallen in material life, we're absorbed in material life. How can we make advancement?" Lord Chaitanya said two things. He said, "Chant the holy name and serve the Vaishnavas." Service to the Vaishnavas, very powerful. If you can do service for the Vaishnavas, how can you do that? You have to think how you can do it. You know, there are many ways you can give service for the Vaishnavas. Do some cooking for the devotees, serve the prasada, clean after the devotees have gone, you know, clean up after them. Like this, you know, when we think about it, we will find ways to serve the Vaishnavas. And it is very powerful. Just like Shamananda Shamananda Pandit was living in Vrindavan. He was going in Rasa Stala and he was cleaning that place every day. Cleaning. And he got blessings from Srimati Radharani. So try to find ways you can do. The more we, when we have the mood to give service and not to be served, then that will help us to be free from any offenses, any entanglement in the material world, in this world. Srila Prabhupada, you know, Srila Prabhupada was very open about this. When people would ask which service is the most pleasing, you know, some devotees would say book distribution is the most, well, you have to distribute books. If you don't distribute books, you can't please. And somebody else would say, no, we've got to take care of the deities. Yeah. So Prabhupada was not so much concerned with what particular service you were doing. But the main thing is that whatever you do it in Krishna consciousness. That is the most pleasing thing. If you do it in Krishna consciousness. In other words, you don't think my service is better than yours. My service is more important than what you're doing. You know, but we see everyone equal. We see it all in relation to Krishna. It's all important. We don't think one is better than another. Krishna doesn't make a distinction between who's offering the arti and who's cleaning the temple floor. He sees the consciousness in which we are doing it. If we are doing these activities in the mood of devotion as a servant of Krishna, an insignificant, humble servant of the Lord, then that is pleasing to Krishna. This is the important thing. It's not the service, but it's the quality with which we serve, which is important, right? And the quality which we are aspiring for is devotion, to be the humble, surrendered, insignificant servant of that one Supreme Lord. That will please Krishna. Yeah, we are making a lot of steps against cow slaughtering. We are doing this in many ways, by preaching and distributing books. In London, one of our devotees published a book in London actually, at our temple in London, Bhaktivinoda Manor. We have a herd of about 50 cows. And one devotee there has published a book recently on the history of cow protection and cow farming and why it's so important for society. So that was one thing, you know, educating people by writing about the importance of protecting cows and showing it by example and by our own preaching when we distribute our books, by giving people knowledge of Krishna consciousness, they will naturally come to understand how the cow is an important animal in society and should be protected and cared for. So, you know, yes, we are very concerned about protecting the cows, but we have to work on the people. We can only take care of a few cows ourselves. But if we work on the whole on the people, the human society, and educate people in the harm of cow killing and how it's wrong to eat cow meat and these kind of things, if we can educate people on Krishna consciousness, then they will develop love for the cows and for all creatures. Yeah? Okay. So, we'll stop now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.